Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Matt, if I haven't met you before. Hi. Blessed to have you guys here and joining with us. David's graciously given up the pulpit for me for this Sunday, so here we go. I'm getting over like a tickle in my throat from an old cold, so I'm like downing cough drops. So I've got a bag here if I need, but God is gracious, and he's bigger than my voice, so it'll be awesome. So if you've been around, you know we've been working through a series on Exodus, talking about basically the gospel according to Exodus. The gospel according to Moses, and we're working our way through the Ten Commandments. We've just started into those, and today we get the one on the Sabbath. It's the longest one out of all the commandments, which is why I think David gave it to me, because he knew I could handle it. It's also one of the most debated, probably, out of the Ten Commandments in terms of how it applies to us today. What do we do with this today? What does that look like? So we're going to get into that and amongst a lot of other things. So first of all, what do you think of when you think of the Sabbath? What do you think of when you think of the Sabbath? Rest. I heard a few people say rest in there. Yep. Rest. Yes, rest is what a lot of people think of when you think of the Sabbath. Rest. So what does rest mean? What does that rest mean? What are we supposed to do on the Sabbath? Is it just a day of rest? And rest is kind of a funny thing. I was reading him. Most of us feel, in terms of work, most of us feel guilty if we're not working hard enough, but then we feel resentful and bitter if we think that we're working harder than we should or too hard. So in the same way, we have this kind of weird relationship with rest. And what does rest look like? We desire rest, and Lord knows we need rest, but we often feel guilty taking rest. Anybody identify with that? I know I do. I feel kind of bad sometimes, like, oh, I should be doing something. There's dishes to do. There's always things to do. Should I be resting? What does rest look like? What do you think of when you hear the word rest? What do you picture? What do you envision doing when you hear the word rest? What comes to your mind? What does that look like? You see, I was reading up on this. They say Americans spend out of their leisure time. This is like undevoted time. They spend about 50% of their time. 50% of their time, what do you think? Doing what? TV. 50% of time on TV or movies. And that doesn't even count like social media, screen time, video games, stuff like that. So that's kind of scary. I was trying to find anything about that, but I would imagine a huge percentage of our leisure or rest time is devoted to screen time. So what does rest really look like? What does rest really look like? And what does it look like to God? What does rest really look like to God? And in terms of the Sabbath is a day of rest. What are we supposed to do with that today? What do we do with the Sabbath today? What does that look like? So my big idea as we get going here is the Sabbath is a gift from God to turn our hearts to him in worship and to look to the completed work of Christ on the cross. The Sabbath is a gift from God, and we'll get into that. There's a purpose to it, a point to it. So let's read here. We're in Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to be reading verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Father, for the gift of the Sabbath, and I pray that as we dive into it today, Lord, that you would open up our eyes, Lord, and our hearts, that we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, Father God, but that we would be doers also. Father, that you would give us insight and revelation, Lord, into why you've put this out there in the Sabbath and what its purpose is for us today and how we can apply it to our lives today. I just pray that you would give clarity to that, Father God, that you would bless this time, bless my voice, and bless this time, Father, to give you glory, Lord, and give us ears to hear. And that you would work in our hearts, Father God, and soften our hearts to you. That we would leave this place closer to you, Lord God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Okay. So my first point in here is the Sabbath is a day of rest. The Sabbath is a day of rest. And that's what we were talking about earlier. See, God's command at the beginning there is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, to keep the Sabbath day holy. So how do we keep the Sabbath day holy? What makes the Sabbath day holy? And the answer here is simple. God does. That the very last verse, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God made the Sabbath day. There's nothing special about that day or anything like that. God blessed that day and God made it holy. It's all about God's purposes for that day that make it holy. So how are we to keep it holy? First of all, rest. By resting from our normal duties. And this is an interesting concept if you think about it. God's command for them was to stop working. Most of us don't need to be commanded to stop working, honestly. But that's what God's command was for him, stop working. Which is interesting, and if you look at it, because honestly, I think, one, that affirms the nobility of work, that work is good, and we should be working, we should be diligent, we should be faithful, that God had to say, whoa, 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 stop. You got to put a limit to this. God put a limit on that with stopping. So it's affirming the nobility of work and God's heart for us to be good workers, to be diligent. And I like, work is good and rest is good, God is saying. I love saying, work hard and rest hard. When you're at work, work hard. When you're resting, rest hard. Enjoy it. I remember I had interviewed a guy one time and interviewing and talking to him. And as he was walking out the door, he said, hey, good to meet you, man. Don't work too hard. I was like, that's a horrible way to end an interview. Don't work too hard. Why would I hire you if you're telling me not to work too hard? I want guys that work hard. Come on. He didn't get the job. And so there's this command in there to stop work, to rest, for everybody to rest. And you see, this was interesting too. This was like revolutionary because he talks about your male or your female servants. This was a revolutionary concept that they would give slaves a day of rest as well. That's unique. That doesn't happen. And also you see in there, there's this humane treatment of animals because he says your livestock too. They get a day of rest. This is a big deal to God. This is all encompassing. And I like it too because this is God putting a cap on our greed too, I think, to make a step back. I think that's a big part of what God's doing here is putting a cap on our greed. Before my Christian days, when I got into college, my whole big goal was just to make money, to be rich. My favorite song was I Want to Be Rich. If anybody actually remembers that, that's a really old song. But that's I love that song because I wanted to be rich, and I was willing to do whatever it took to get rich. I wanted to make money. I wanted to be a top executive working like crazy, 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, making money. Why did that sound cool? I have no idea, other than the money. And so I think back on this and realize the importance of thank you, God, for your salvation that got me out of that. But even today in my life, probably a lot of you guys can identify. I mean, we go about our days, but and we make money and we have our jobs. But I'm always trying to think, okay, how can I make more money? Maybe if I do this on the side, I can make money, or this, or this, or this. And we're always trying to find ways to make more money, and I'm realizing this is going to fill up my life. I'm not going to have time to rest with my kids, with my family, church, with God. We have to step back. And this is where it's important to put ourselves under the lordship of Christ. We recognize in that the Israelites had to submit to the authority of God, that no matter what was happening on that day, they had to stop. Whatever they were in the middle of, they had to stop and rest. And that takes submission. That takes acknowledging God is sovereign. I can put this on hold and take my day of rest. We had to trust God's provision in there. So there's this submission and this trust that's a part of it too. And that's huge because in our culture today, it's all about production. It's a very production-oriented culture. And for us to trust God enough to step back and say, I need to rest. I need to take some time to rest and trust that God will take care of us, that God will provide for us. Because we need that because we have to step back and remember what really matters, what's important. And that's what I'm going to get into next. The Sabbath is a day of worship. That's the second point. It's a day of rest, and it's a day of worship. And that's the second way they were to keep the Sabbath day, to make it a day of worship to God. You see, what's interesting in this is If we look at Leviticus 23:3, basically what it says is on the Sabbath they held a holy convocation to God. They had a holy convocation. And I don't know about you guys, I had to look up what convocation meant. Maybe you guys are smarter than me, but I had no idea. So, and basically what it means is a large formal assembly of people. So they had this big, large, formal, holy assembly before God on the Sabbath. What does that remind us of? Church. That's church. These guys were having church. This was the church in the Old Testament where they would gather together on the Sabbath to worship God. And I think it's cool. It was a time where all the Israelites could gather together with their brothers and sisters into the thing that bound them all together. And that was the worship of the true God. That's the thing that binds them all together. In the same way for us today, we get to gather together with the one thing that binds us all together. We're all come from very different backgrounds and nationalities and races and all sorts of things, but the one thing that binds all of us together is God. We all love and honor and are worshiping God and come here to give him glory. And that's what we get to do. That's the thing that sets us apart. Sets the church apart as God's holy people when we gather together in that. So why the assembly and the rest? Why the assembly and the rest? And this is interesting because this command that we're reading about now is the only command that actually gives a why behind it, a reason for it. And we see it towards the end in there. If you look at verse 11, these are these important words if you're into hermeneutics. For, he says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, or because. We take the Sabbath because the Lord made the heaven and earth and all that is in and rested on the seventh day. And therefore, right after that, therefore, another big word, therefore, because of that, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You see, the reason that we have the Sabbath goes about acknowledging the pattern of creation, that God worked 6 days and he rested on the seventh. I like this. A little side joke. A preacher rode by one Sunday morning to see a farmer who was a church member hard at work harvesting in his fields. Brother, the minister lectured him, don't you know that the Creator made the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh? Yes, said the farmer, I know all about that. But the Lord got finished in 6 days and I didn't. You see, but the Sabbath isn't about our work. It's not about our work. It's about God's work. It's about acknowledging what God did as the Creator. And the Sabbath was a time for the Israelites to stop and worship God and remember him as the Creator who made all things. And I think that's awesome. When I was thinking about it and praying about that, how often do we forget? At least I know I do. Forget to acknowledge and worship God as the Creator who made all things. You see, that's where it starts. God put Genesis at the beginning for a reason. That first line, in the beginning, God made the heavens and earth. He put it there for a reason, for us to take note of. You see, that is the basis for everything in the Bible, that God created the heaven and earth. That means that God is sovereign over everything, over all of creation, over us, over everything. That is what makes the whole Bible possible. That's what makes everything in our faith possible, is that God is our Creator. He is sovereign. And if we acknowledge and believe that, then that's the basis for our faith, for all else that happens after that, that God is sovereign over his creation. And we need to take time and stop and remember that. But there's another reason in there too. If you could turn with me to Deuteronomy, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verses 12 through 15. So Deuteronomy chapter 5. And looking at verses 12 through 15. And this is kind of a recap of what we just read in the Ten Commandments, but there's some differences in here. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Seeing there, it's a lot of the same, but therefore at the end is different. The reason is different. Therefore, he says, keep the Lord, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, because you were a slave in the land of Egypt and the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. You see, the Sabbath was also a time for Israelites to remember that they were slaves in Egypt and remember all the plagues and the mighty works and the power of God, the parting of the Red Sea, that was a part of God bringing them out of slavery in Egypt. You see, and that would be especially important with remembering the Sabbath, because they had 6 days to work and then they rested on the seventh. They were slaves in Egypt. Most of us cannot relate to this or understand that, but these guys were slaves for all of their life up to this point, really. They didn't have a chance to rest. They were slaves. They were working 7 days a week constantly, meeting the demands of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. They never got the chance to rest. So how cool is it that God says, whoa, rest. Now all of a sudden there's this difference. There's this change in their life. They have the freedom to be able to rest, the get to rest. And we can't understand it like these guys did. But man, I think they really got that. And I think that's hugely important that we remember both God as our creator as well as God as our deliverer, our redeemer. You see, they're both very important. The creation, God as our creator, denounces sovereignty, his power, his supremacy over all creation, that he sits enthroned above everything else, but that he is our redeemer and that he is our deliverer. That's that personal love and care that God has for his people. You see, God is mighty and holy and powerful up there, but he's also involved in the lives of his creation, and he loves his people, and he's there for his people. He's rescuing them. He's delivering them. They're both huge. They're both powerful. You see, the Sabbath day for the Israelites wasn't a day just to sit around and binge on movies or TV or social media or sports or video games, because they didn't have those, but also because God had other purposes for that day. It was a day of worship. It was a day to remember. It wasn't just another religious obligation like rest just because I said so. God had a plan and a purpose for it. And it was intended as a source of spiritual life so they would stop and turn their hearts back to God. And all of us know, I mean, in life, we go about our days at work. We leave here on Sunday and we go about our days of work. And it's so easy for our faith in God to get choked out by all the cares and troubles of life. I mean, we've got budgets and works and house to take care of and kids to take care of and this and that and groceries to buy and food to cook and cleaning to do. There's so many things that weigh down on our life. Man, to take that time and to refocus ourselves back on God, we need that. That's critical to our spiritual life. It's our time to refocus on God, to remember who he is in his power and his beauty and his glory, and remember his personal love and care for us. We need that time. And then we get into the last part of this. So a Sabbath was a day of worship and it was a day of rest. Now we're getting into the New Testament where Jesus is our Sabbath rest. And we're going to be talking about that for the rest of the time. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. If you could turn with me to one more scripture, we're in Exodus chapter 31. Jump to Exodus 31. Exodus 31, 12 through 17. And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to all the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. You see, the Sabbath was to be an everlasting sign between God and his people, an everlasting sign of that covenant that God made that he would be their God and they would be his people, that Mosaic covenant to remember creation and to point us to God. And in there, too, we see the penalty for breaking the Sabbath, the death penalty for violating the Sabbath. You see, it was a serious issue to God, the Sabbath was, because violating it not only amounted to rebellion against God, rebellion against his lordship, but it was neglecting the worship of God, neglecting to celebrate in what God had done and to give him thanks and give him glory. And there's another reason for that, too, that we'll get into a bit later, because it always that points to something else that's important for us to remember nowadays. But in there, it says, you see in there, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. So it's a covenant forever. So what happened to this forever command? Are we still supposed to be keeping the Sabbath? Should none of us be working today? What does that look like? You see, as in many things in the Bible, visions and prophecies and commandments like this, you see, the Sabbath has both a past, not both, but a past, a present, and a future fulfillment. There's lots of parts of this. God never has just one thing planned. He's got multiple things planned. So he's got a past, a present, and a future fulfillment for what the Sabbath means, what it's about. And we've talked about the past, what it meant to the Israelites and what they were to do with it. And now we're going to talk about the present, and then we'll talk about the future here at the end. But first, a little bit of history in there. See, over the years after Exodus that we read, the Sabbath kind of was forgotten amidst a lot of idol worship that we read in there. There are good kings and bad kings, and the Sabbath was mostly neglected. Every now and then a good king would come up and say, "Hey, guys, we forgot about the Sabbath. We need to do the Sabbath." "Oh, yeah, okay, we'll do the Sabbath." And they do the Sabbath for a while. That king would die, bad king would come up, "Forget the Sabbath. We're worshiping idols." And then that would happen, and there was this back and forth trend. But over the years, the Sabbath kind of faded off. But by Jesus' time, what we see is that the Sabbath had come back, but basically what had become, it had become this lifeless tradition that you keep the Sabbath. And it was what the religious leaders had done. They'd added all sorts of rules for what could and couldn't be done on the Sabbath. Now, I mean, if you look at them, if you read up on them, there's ridiculous, tons of rules, how far you could walk, how much you could carry, all sorts of things like this on what you could do on the Sabbath. Tracy got to go to Israel once as a college student, and she was telling me she went in one big building in Jerusalem, and the elevator doors opened automatically, and you could walk in, and then the elevator would just go up and down, stopping on every floor so nobody would have to push a button on the elevator. Okay, does that sound ridiculous to anybody but me? My kids love pushing those buttons. They would be heartbroken. That's how far it had gotten. I mean, where it had just become this lifeless tradition where they'd added all these rules and regulations and things onto it. And then Jesus comes on the scene and he sees what was going on in there. And he sees that this is just what had happened is they'd taken what was a worship to God and they turned it, they passed it on to the people as just a burden on their lives with no real purpose, no real meaning. It was just the burden of, we have to do this. We have to do this. And if you're a parent, that challenges me too. Man, how often do we tell our kids, "Kids, you have to do this. You have to come to church. That's what we do. We go to church." Man, I don't want my kids to get this lifeless tradition from me. How often do we do that now? We get into that rut, basically, where it just becomes a habit with no real meaning, with no purpose, with no heart. Lord, help us not to get there. So Jesus comes on the scene, and he sees what's happening on the Sabbath, and instantly this becomes one of the biggest hot points between Jesus and the religious leaders. You see, the leaders demanded that Jesus comply with all their rules and traditions for what he was to do and not do on the Sabbath. And Jesus wasn't going for any of that. See, Jesus asserted in all of that, time and time again, the Sabbath was a day for doing good, a time for healing, a time for worshiping God. That's what it was about. And if you jump with me, we're going to look at Mark 2, 23. Look at one of those encounters. So Mark chapter 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, he, that's Jesus, was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way through, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying, look, what they are doing is not lawful. They were like picking grains of wheat, crumbling them up and just eating the seeds. And the Pharisees were saying, no, you can't harvest on the Sabbath. And then Jesus said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He went to he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. So what does that mean? Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You see, the Sabbath was made as a day to glorify God and draw people to him, a day for good, a time for good, a time for healing, a time for rest, for refreshing. It was made for our benefit so that we would get the rest that we need and that it would point us to God and so that God would get the worship that he so rightly deserves from us too, so that it would draw us to him. It was to point us to Jesus ultimately. It was not for man to dictate the terms of what happens and doesn't happen on the Sabbath. It wasn't to become that. And in there we see Jesus is asserting his sovereignty over the Sabbath. He says, I am the Lord even over the Sabbath. That's a claim to deity. And I know the religious leaders got that and understood that. But basically he's saying, I am sovereign over that. And what does that look like? Jump with me to another verse here. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. So about most of the way through the New Testament. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. That's talking about the Sabbath and other things and other festivals, are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one judge you, for these are a shadow of what is to come in Christ. You see, Jesus fulfills the Sabbath, and we'll get into that in a minute. You see, the Sabbath, the whole point of the Sabbath, just like the whole point of the Old Testament, was to point us to Jesus. Ultimately, everything is angling us towards Jesus and to what he did. The Sabbath was meant to point us to Christ, who is the substance, he says in here. The substance of the Sabbath is Jesus himself. And what he's doing in that is releasing us from this burden of trying to follow the rules and traditions of men as a means to sort towards salvation. He's releasing us from trying to follow all these rules and traditions towards salvation. The old is past, he's saying. Because something better has come. And let's look at that. We're going to jump one more scripture here. Hebrews 4, 1 through 11. Hebrews chapter 4, 1 through 11. Just a few big books forward. Therefore, with the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. He's talking about the Israelites back in the time of Moses. For we who have believed entered that rest, As he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter it because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered into God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. So let's look at that, particularly at the end. You see, the rest that the Sabbath is pointing us to is not just a lay down and rest and stop working. It's a rest from our work and our striving to be accepted by God by following all the rules and commandments and regulations. It's a rest from having to try to earn our acceptance and to be made holy in God's sight, from trying to earn our salvation. That's the rest that he's pointing us to. You see, none of us can ever do enough to earn our salvation. None of us can ever do enough to earn our salvation. We have a perfect and holy God as our standard. And the Bible describes our attempts to earn our salvation as filthy rags. Our righteousness is but filthy rags before him. But yet we strive constantly to try to earn that salvation. I remember before I was a Christian, growing up, I didn't know God, and I was in high school, I think, and the idea of eternity scared me like crazy. I knew there was something out there, but the idea of dying scared me like crazy, and I would literally cry myself to sleep at night, thinking about it, freaking out about it, not knowing what was going on. And then I remember my dad, for Christmas, gave me a Bible, and I got this Bible, and there was just something in there like, maybe there's something in there that will help me with this. And so I picked up that Bible, wasn't a Christian, wasn't going to church, and I started reading it. And I read literally like just two pages of it a day, not a chapter, just started in Genesis and read two chapters a day. Nobody knew I did this. Nobody asked me to. I just read two chapters a day, always, constantly, before I went to bed. And all I was doing in that, basically, I didn't know what was what, right from wrong, but I was trying to earn my way out of this fear of death, out of this fear of eternity and what was going to happen to me when I died. I thought if I could read enough out of this Bible, which was a good book, that would get me out of that. And it was a scary spot to be at, and it never did. I mean, I read the Bible, and honestly, I never got anything from it. But God used that in an awesome way as part of my testimony. But I was trying to earn my way to salvation, trying to earn my way so that I didn't have to fear death. And I couldn't do it. You see, all we can do as believers, and if you're an unbeliever, stop trying to earn it. All we can do is rest in the completed work of Christ on the cross. That he saw that we can never live up to the standard that he set as a perfectly holy God and a sinful people. He saw that there is this gap that we could never bridge by our works. We could never get there. And so Christ came down, and he took all of that sin upon himself, all of our failures and inabilities, he took upon himself on that cross, and he suffered for them, the punishment that God meted out, the death that we deserved. And Christ suffered and endured that so that we could experience his holiness, so that we could have that holiness that we could not earn. Christ did it to make us holy and acceptable before God so we didn't have to work. And that's the rest that we get. You see, we can never do anything to add to work to Christ's work of salvation for us. Nothing we could ever do can add to what Jesus has already done. All we can do is rest and enjoy in faith what Jesus had done. That's the substance of the Sabbath, that Jesus is our rest. We get a rest from our work in Jesus who did all the work for us, so that we could experience God's salvation. You see, Jesus is our exodus to deliver us from sin and death. And Jesus is also our Sabbath. He's our Sabbath rest from trying to earn that salvation through our own works. And when I talk about rest in here, it's important to know this is an active rest that we're in right now. It's an active rest stemming from the fruit of that faith. The good works, everything that we live at now, the good works, the lives of obedience, the service that we do, sharing the gospel, discipling people, things like that, that's all just the fruit of what God has already done in our lives. We don't do that to earn God's salvation. We don't do that to earn his acceptance. We do that out of a place of gratitude and worship because of what he's done in us. It should be that hope that just overflows onto the world around us. So that's what this rest looks like right now that we get to enjoy. It's a ceasing from striving, and it's the joyful work and gratitude for what he's done. So practically, what does the Sabbath look like for us now? What did it look like in the New Testament? You see, we're no longer under the law to keep the Sabbath because Jesus is our Sabbath rest. He fulfilled that. But the principle of the Sabbath in the early church could and should be kept by us. It's that idea of setting apart of the day of the week as a time to worship and meet. And you guys are all here. Awesome. You guys did it. Good job. Setting apart that day of the week, it's time to pull ourselves out of the busyness of life and to refocus our lives on God. And some of us have to work. Sometimes we can't make it. Sometimes things come up. I get that. And we're not under the law right now. We're under grace. But if we can't make time for God in the midst of our busyness of life, then there's a heart issue with us that needs to get dealt with. That's what it's saying. We need to make the time for God. Not out of legalism, but out of worship. See, the early church did that. They gathered together on the first day of the week, and they called it the Lord's Day to commemorate when Jesus rose from the grave. It was a time of communion, of fellowship, of study in the Word, time of singing songs of worship to God. Sound familiar? Hey, we're doing it. We're living it out. It's a time to remember God's sovereignty and power, just as it was back then and is now. Remember God's sovereignty and power as our creator. Remember his personal love and care for us as our deliverer. Still the same. And it's not a get to, but a have to. We get to come to church. We get to worship God. It should never be a have to. So which is it for you? Is it a get to or a have to? Because it should be the overflow of a heart in gratitude for what he's done. And I mentioned the future fulfillment. And this is the even cooler part of all of that. The future fulfillment we see in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. The new heaven and the new earth that we see. You think I'm winding up, Sky? I'm just getting started here. No, you see, it's a rest from all of our works, this new heaven and a new earth. It's a rest from all our works as we get to dwell with Christ for all eternity. And I think this is so cool. We'll get to be with Christ in heaven, and we're never going to be bored resting. We're not just going to be laying on a cloud or sitting on a couch or something like that, but we're going to be exploring the beauty and the glory of God for all eternity, because that's how long it's going to take to explore the beauty and glory of God for all eternity. This new heaven and new earth, it's like an eternal Sabbath day. I love that. It's this holy convocation, a holy assembly of God's people with all fellow believers from all ages as we all gather together in heaven. And it is perfectly holy, and it is perfectly centered on God himself. That is the eternal fulfillment of the Sabbath, and that's the hope that we get to have as believers, the Sabbath rest to come, that we get to rest from all our works, and we get to eternally enjoy Christ and worship him forever. We're not going to be bored, man. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. So what does all that mean to me? Since Guy's up here, we should wrap up. What does all that mean to me? Time to reflect. So are you making the time in your life to rest and refocus on God? And I say that on purpose. Are you making that time happen? Because that's what we have to do. Everybody knows it doesn't just happen. You don't like just wake up, sit up, the Bible falls in your lap, and you start praying. It doesn't for me. Maybe it does for you. Awesome. God bless you. But every morning I'm like, oh man, I need to get up. If I don't get up now, I'm not going to have enough time to read my Bible and pray. Oh, okay, I'll do it. And I get in there and I do it, and I never regret it. But I have to make that time happen. I have to be prepared. All of you guys here that came today, you had to make it happen. You had to get up on time. You had to get ready, and you had to come. You didn't have to. But you had to make it happen. And that's what we have to do. We have to make time in our busyness of life to rest and refocus on God. And it is always worth it. So are you doing that daily? Are you taking that time to rest in God and refocus on Him and His Word and in worship and in prayer? Are you doing that? And secondly, are you sharing with others, both Christian and non-Christian, the hope that we have in Jesus as our Sabbath rest? There's a lot of people out there like I was that are scared to death of what's going on, and they don't know what's happening after death. They don't know what's happening after this life, and they have no hope. And many of them are trying to just earn their way to heaven like I was, trying to do enough good stuff that maybe God will say, good enough, sure, come on in. It's not going to happen. You see, they had this death penalty again for a reason. The death penalty, because if we try to earn our salvation, we can't. The result is death because we have this sin within us that calls for death. We can't make it. But we have this good news to share with people that you don't have to earn it. All you have to do is repent of your sins and believe on the completed work of Christ and accept the beauty and the glory of what He did for you. And then you're accepted. And then you have salvation. You have holiness in Him. That's the hope that we have. And are we sharing that with others? That eternal Sabbath in heaven, that hope should just be flowing out of us. And I struggle with that. And I know you guys do too. But man, Lord, help us to overflow in that hope to a world that desperately needs it. And that's why we have life groups and discipleship groups during the week, so that we can refocus our lives on God and push and point ourselves back to Him. And if you're here today and you're not a believer, do not reject this one and only way to salvation that we have in the completed work of Christ. It is the only way. You can never earn it. You can never be good enough. You can never do it hard enough, live Christianity hard enough to earn your way to salvation. That only results in death, like we talked about. But the free gift of God is eternal life for those who believe Him and accept what He has done, that we don't have to earn it. That's the free gift of God by faith that we have, that Jesus completed the work that we could not do, and that He is our Sabbath rest. So we're going to jump into communion now. If you don't have your communion elements, I know they're in back there. And this is an easy transition to communion, man. You see, communion, part of it, what we're doing is we're joining together again with all these, with the church, what they've always done to celebrate what Jesus did, the completed work that Jesus gave us on the cross. And that's what we get to celebrate and remember through communion, the completed work of what Christ did for us at the cross. And don't open them yet. We'll get there. Be patient. Remember, rest and wait. It's all about remembering the completed work of Christ on the cross, that we don't have to try to earn our salvation. We cannot, but we can rest in the completed work that we could never do. And we can accept that free gift of salvation. So as we partake of communion, that's what we'll remember. Remember, let it draw our hearts back to our sovereign Creator, the God of all the universe, who created everything in His sovereignty and power and glory, who has that personal love and care for us, that He sent His Son Jesus, that His body would be broken for us, taking that punishment for sin that we deserved, taking that punishment of death that we deserved. His body was broken for us, and His blood was shed for us, so that we could be forgiven, and so that we can rest in that completed work of Christ, so we can enjoy that Sabbath rest that the Old Testament pointed us to, and what Christ did for us. So that being said, if you could partake and remember what Christ did for us, His body broken for us, and his blood that was shed for us. Lord, and we just thank you so much for a love like no other, Father. You loved us so much. You saw the standard that we could not keep. Lord, you didn't just leave us there in our sins, destined to death. But Lord, you reached out in love and in power and in grace, Lord God, to send your son Jesus to pay that penalty, Father, to earn what we never could. Lord, to give us the rest that we needed from our works, Father, that now that we get a rest in your loving arms and the salvation, Lord, that you have secured for us, that you are our Sabbath rest, Lord. And Lord, I pray that when we think of the Sabbath, Lord, that it would just draw our hearts to you, Lord, to remember the beauty and the glory of what you've done for us, Father, and of what you've given for us. Draw our hearts to you, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that we would not forget the principles in there, Lord, that we would make time for you in our busy schedule, Lord, to refocus our lives on you, to draw our hearts to you, Lord, to give you the worship that you are so worthy of, Lord, that we would not neglect that. And Lord, I just pray that that would overflow in our hearts, Lord God, in our soul, that it would overflow out from our lives to a world that desperately needs the hope that you have put in us to share, Father God. Lord, use us to be a light and a beacon, Lord, to point people towards the beauty and glory of who you are and what you've done. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and we give you all the glory, Father. And everybody said, amen. 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 Lord bless you guys. Thank you guys for coming, and have an awesome week.